Hello, West Liberty. This is Asia on WGOZ. We are college radio and we are passionately vocal. Welcome to Distinctive Discussion, the final part of the four-part series of Passionately Vocal. Today we have Robert Bernard Buddy on the phone with me today. Robert is one of the head coaches on Kingshammer North, a soccer club located in Lebanon, Ohio. He initially attended the University of Dayton, playing soccer at the high-level Division One men's team. He majored in communications and journalism with a minor in philosophy. Robert was known to train kids because of his high quality soccer skills. All right, Robert, one way to get things rolling, I'd like to ask you about your soccer career at University of Dayton and what made you decide to go there. And how would you describe your time as a Division One athlete?
I was recruited there and was very optimistic. But the way things played out, and like I said, with the coaching changes, I never ended up playing one game for the university. But it didn't divert me from my training and my focus on being the best player I could.
And what role did your experiences as an athlete play in shaping your coaching style and your philosophy?
That's a good question. As an athlete, sometimes you don't really see what the possibilities could be in coaching. So I can only say that as an athlete, my post-college experience with USL ball began to, you know, separate my thoughts between being a player and being, you know, what could be a coach. And I played very aggressively, and then after training with some international players, I started to see the game differently instead of being such an individual's game and then to a team game. And it was the team mentality that started shaping how I was going to eventually coach and what I actually thought of the game. Again, as when you're a player and you're taught to be more of to have more of an individual focus, you don't get to see the whole game. So as I moved on and started seeing where my mistakes were, I was able to develop a view or a vision of the game. And that's what's helped me eventually become a good coach.
As an athlete, did you ever see yourself coaching at all?
You know, I'd never planned on coaching. Like I said, I was quite short-sighted as a player, and I believe most players are when they're active in team play or pursuing, you know, their own skills, we're left a little short-sighted. We don't really see the future. It wasn't until I started to be coached, because I never really received the best coaching as a youth. I had good coaching, but seeing how these international players were coached, it left a big impression on me that would come about later. But I think, The short answer is no, I didn't see myself coaching, but after taking a Walt Chesiewicz course in coaching soccer at the University of Dayton, I started to look at the game as a coach, unintentionally, of course. But I believe that was the catalyst that started me to have that vision of what I can offer the game at a later level.
What started your coaching career?
Oddly enough, I just happened to be available to train my niece's junior high soccer team. It was a developmental program to prepare them for their high school. And I was known in my hometown as being a pretty good player with successes along the way. So I went ahead and volunteered for free to train these young players and to get them playing at a higher level so they could be prepared for what they were going to face in high school as far as the physical game. But I went from that to moving to Cincinnati, and I was just training players privately, technical skills, the skills that helped me find my successes on the field. So I was still a little individually focused and not as much on the full game. But I think as I expanded on the private training, it was a natural progression to move into coaching. There was a need for it, and there weren't many coaches available, and I was kind of elected into mid-level soccer coaching for girls in Cincinnati.
Was it hard for you to find a club, or hard for you to figure out if you were able to coach girls or boys?
That's a good question. It wasn't hard to find a club. I was actually managing an indoor field facility in the Mason, Ohio area, and I was exposed to a lot of different clubs and teams that were in the area. So it wasn't really necessarily finding them. It was the club that I eventually coached for that found me, and it was a couple parents who were coaching who asked if I could. They'd seen what I'd done for a few of their players individually, and they asked if I would like to train the team, and then eventually the parents moved out of the coaching role, and I just evolved into the coaching role. So it was kind of accidental that I moved into coaching, and whether it was boys or girls, it just happened to be the case that I was training a lot of young girl players, and I was in that environment and with those groups, and that's actually how I, you know, selected, I guess if you want to call it, to coach in the girls' programs.
All right. What are some lessons from your playing days do you try to pass on to your players?
What not to do, how not to play, I think was the best, and still it continues to be the best thing I can offer players as an initial point before training and skills or tactics of a game. I was not the most controlled player. In the 80s, it was still a very physical game, not as technically and tactically focused. It was who was stronger, who was faster, who could prevent attacks from happening. So I'm able to tell them what not to do to shape the environment of what they should do and how they should conduct themselves, not take the game too seriously mentally or take aggressive play personally, but to realize it's part of the game and how to react to it and how to prevent being drawn into either overly aggressive play or mentally unstable situation. So, and then on to technical skills, just what worked for me in the game is what I held on to and was able, even when I first started just training players technically, what was working for me and why it was working for me is what I really strive to pass on to the players. And through watching them grow, I mean, some of them are now way out of the sport with families of their own, but just watching them move from not knowing what they were to do to being confident going on and playing college or professionally, it shows that I was on the right path. Not the most perfect technical or tactical coach, but I do know what works, and I've been able to pass that on successfully.
Okay, folks, thank you for listening for the first part of this interview of Distinctive Discussions titled Passionately Vocal. This is Asia with Robert Buddy on the phone. So far, we talked about his college experience at the University of Dayton and what ways that led up to where he is today. Now let's shift our way to talking about his coaching career. All right, let's start off. What inspired you to transition from playing to coaching, and what was the process like that for you?
Well, again, it was accidental, if that's the right word. I was just trying to be a technical trainer and moved the coaching out of the need for coaches. So I don't know if I was inspired to transition, but as I transitioned, I became inspired because of the successes I've seen, the positive attitude from the players. So the process for me was a positive process, and it was inspirational along the way. So the more successes I saw, those successes parlayed into successes for myself. I started to believe in myself that I could teach, and I could transition from just being a player into a coach, a motivator, you know, a teammate. And that's, I started that philosophy of being a teammate instead of the boss mentality of a coach. And so I think this transition was very good, knowing what a player wants out of a coach to being able to transfer that desire to the players as a coach. So it was, I guess in short, it was very rewarding.
How has your perspective on the game changed now that you are on the sidelines instead of being on the field?
I would say the team effort over individual effort. I mean, both are needed in the game. But looking at the game and what I saw it as a player, how I looked at the game as a player, changed dramatically because of understanding a team concept and understanding new tactics while they were new to me. But watching and listening and learning changed me. It also allowed me to be calmer after seeing, you know, so many insane coaches on the sideline losing their head and really remembering how I was on the field, what I wanted to hear, and how I wanted to hear it. That became my perspective on how to coach from those sidelines. So it's, I will admit, I didn't start off that way. You know, I was very passionate still, because as a player, you are very passionate. But as a coach, the game has changed now to where you have to be controlled, pay attention to the successes as well as the failures, so that you can, you know, check on the positives as well as the negatives and make changes that are necessary without mentally upsetting or angering a player.
What would be one piece of advice you would give to the players or athletes that one day want to become coaches?
I would say to really look at the game on how they're being coached the same way I looked at it, how I was being coached and what was bringing successes. So they need to, you know, ask questions, watch games, understand the why. Why is this tactic working? Why did the tactic have to change? So, I mean, really being a student of the game is what's going to help a player be a better player, as well as develop the foundations of being a coach in the future. Because if you don't understand the game 360 degrees, which I did not, I must admit, I came from a very small town. I was lucky to be of German heritage and have a lot of family members who knew the game. But the players now have so much better coaching because the coaches are taught better. They're trained better. So a player who wants to be a coach, pay attention to what's going on, not just on the field, but what the relationship is between the coach and yourself and what works, what doesn't, and hold those memories, because it will help you, as it helped me, when you move on to coaching, if that becomes your destination.
All right, you talked about relationships, and for my next question, I wanted to ask you, how do you balance the competitive side of coaching with the personal relationships you build with players?
Well, the competitive side of coaching is where you have to learn to motivate. And you can't motivate a player unless you have a positive relationship with them. So I build trust and confidence with the players personally, so that environment for motivation can exist. If a player feels comfortable with their coach, understands the, you know, the coach can get upset or happy, you know, at times, but really has a good relationship to where they can come up and ask a question. Why are you asking me to do this? And it's up to the coach to, and there's the balance, to be able to explain that to the player and do it in a positive way so that the player can go out and perform. So the balance is really to build that environment where the player has trust and can be motivated, even when you're excited and saying, hey, move here to there. And it sounds, maybe sounds too aggressive to others, but the player understands this is the environment. I trust my coach. I'm not going to get angry. So there's the balance for you, to have that environment so that, and that relationship with each player, so that they can be the most competitive they can be.
Next, I wanted to ask you, like, what are your goals as a coach and for both for the team and for yourself?
Well, for the team, you know, I have a grander goal, an overlying goal, to bring the technical and tactical together. And for soccer coaches, they'll agree. You know, those are two important aspects of the game, as well as the mental aspect. And if you can bring them all into one environment that they're using the best skills they can, and you're encouraging them to grow, teaching them things that they can learn and use, and then applying that into the tactical scheme on how you're playing or the setup you're starting up with or the lineup you're going with. My goal is to make sure that all comes together and they all complement each other, because it's one message thing. And I think I want to grow more in that aspect of being not just correct, because it is a subjective game. There can be things that work one day and not the next, but to be able to identify what I need to advise the team in order to be successful. And that's a huge challenge. And I'm still growing in that way. And the second part of it is, as a coach, I want to help the player relate this experience to life. Because many of these players won't go on to play even at a collegiate level, let alone professional level. So how can I parlay this experience, or how can I relate this experience to what they're going to experience in life, with even if they're going to college for education, if they're moving into the workforce and dealing with a competitive environment? Teaching them how to deal with a competitive environment through athletics will carry on through their professional life. So I really strive to relate their experience to what they're going to experience in the future.
Lastly, I wanted to ask you, what's the biggest challenge you face as a soccer coach?
The biggest challenge, I think it extends from your last question, developing players, not just managing good or great players, and preparing them for life. And what I mean by developing players, not just managing good or great players, you can bring in talent. You can have talent on your team. But if you don't improve them, give them something to improve on to make them better, you're just using the player and for where they're at. You're not allowing them to grow. And that's a challenge, to allow them to grow, to give them the tools to grow, and then to be able to let them go and move on to the next level. And it's a challenge with every player, because you don't always get excellent players. You may get players who are half the skill level of your top players or less, but they're still on the team and they still have to contribute. So you have to develop them to get them to the level to where the team can complement each other, and their skills. How can they complement each other to build success? So that's a huge challenge, unless you're, you know, coaching an all-star team. Then it's not as large a challenge. But when you're in developmental soccer, and as well as other sports, developing players is key, and it's a big challenge. If you can successfully do that, you have a successful coaching career, or experience at least.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to this interview series of distinctive discussions coming from the program titled Passionately Vocal. We just discussed Robert Buddy's life as a Division I athlete and his coaching experiences. Thank you, Robert Buddy, for being here with me today. This is Asia on WGOZ. We are college radio and we are passionately vocal. Again, thank you for tuning in, and let's get back to the music.